Yeah, one second. Okay, it's moving.
Okay. Welcome to the March 27th, 2024, regular meeting of the Port of Kingston Commission. Comments from those in attendance will be allowed upon recognition of the chair. Please identify yourself by stating your name. If you would like to be added to an agenda for a future meeting, please contact the port office at least 1 week prior to the regularly scheduled meeting. Please submit your documentations, your documents and or presentations at the time of your request. This is a preliminary agenda and is subject to change. I'm going to call the meeting to order at 2:01. We all stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. I believe that's where Rotary was. I'm guessing this way.
Oh, maybe right here. Maybe we should, should have it covered.
Okay. I pledge allegiance, to the flag
of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So, make a motion. Do I have a motion to approve the agenda?
We're going to add a...
I do, with an addition. We have an action item I would like to add to the agenda, where action item number 6 says non-applicable. I'd like to add KEDA, KEDA dues, as an action item.
Thank you.
And otherwise, that's okay. The proposal.
Did you have an addition? Oh, it was that?
Yeah.
Okay. So did I have a second, too?
I said
second. Oh, okay. Sorry, I didn't hear it. Okay. Any further discussion?
No.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Move on to the public comment period. Citizens may address the commission regarding any item related to port business, including items on the agenda. It's 3 minutes per person. Who would like to go first? I understood you have a public comment to make?
I do.
Okay, what's your name?
Sharon Demers.
Sharon? Okay.
I'm a little emotional, and I'll apologize for that up front, but I think it's to be expected. My name is Sharon Demers, and I am one of Ray Carpenter's 6 siblings.
Oh.
That may be why you thought that you had known me before. Well, resemblance. People see us and they say, oh yeah, you're a carpenter. Ray loved his job here at the port. He took after our parents with his work ethic, with his love for the community. They were publicly recognized with numerous awards and accolades, as was Ray, for their community involvement. And he loved his job, he loved the communities he served. That included the Port of Kingston, it included the boating community, it included the tribal members, and it included his co-workers. He had a lot of love and respect for each one of them, and I think they in turn had a lot of love and respect for him as well. They were there for him when he was in the hospitals, both hospitals, and in his physical and rehab. They were there on the phone calling to see whether or not Ray and or Maria or the family needed anything. I want to say to all of them, thank you on behalf of family. I don't know how many of them are here today. There were numerous, as I'm sure you know, accolades on the court site about Ray, about the port and how much people enjoyed coming here because it was a clean, beautiful place that was well kept up. Everybody was made to feel very welcome, and it was a place that they wanted to come back to time and time again. A number of those accolades have Ray's name on them. Mm-hmm. He received a number of cards and letters over the last few years, at least, from a number of those people, thanking them for all that he did to make them feel welcome, and for all that he did for the court. And I mean, they would tell him updates about their family. They would talk about the kids' graduation, about their travel experiences, you know, and on and on. Um, Sorry. He was nominated or appointed, as you know, as Person of the Year. He was co-grand marshal last year, both which were very high honors for him to receive. I don't know if any of you have ever received any of those before, but it's pretty impressive, and the family is very, very proud of him for that. In addition to all of that, the tribe sponsored his celebration of life. I don't know if any of you were in attendance at that or not. I don't recall meeting you, but that's not to say you weren't there. It's just to say more about my memory than anything. I mean, it's quite a blur, but it was a fabulous, fabulous experience and event that was made possible by the tribe. They stepped up and immediately offered it and provided a full meal, as full as a facility for almost 300 people. In addition to that, they sent food home with most of those 300 people. The communities and the tribal members visited him, like I said, at the hospital and the rehab. A number of people have spoken up here in the meetings about Ray and their appreciation of him, and expressed some dismay about how he was treated here at times, here being at the port. Not quite sure what to say about all of that at this point, but we are here for Maria and are standing behind her in any actions that she may take. And I was thinking of addressing some of the items that was on the ED's response to some claims earlier, but I understand the 3-minute limit. So I will close with that. Thank you for letting me speak. And thank you to anyone that's here that was supportive of her.
Thank you for
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sherry.
Would anyone else like to make a public comment?
Nancy wants to.
Nancy?
Nancy Langwood. First comment is on behalf of the stakeholders. You okay?
Yeah.
which I chair, so you know. I just want to thank the port. I know we're in discussions right now about trying to see are there ways that we can come together and bring that one voice a little bit closer. So I want to say thank you for agreeing to meet KCAC. I know they're going through a bunch of individual discussions with you. I have no idea what the outcome will be. And regardless of what the outcome is, I want to say thank you for making that effort. That was my plea at the last meeting, that we give it another try. And if we get closer, great. If we don't, then we move forward. So thank you for that. Second half, I was there. I was a good friend of Ray's. And I did want to know if there was an update on what we had talked about at the last meeting as far as how to express our gratefulness to him for his contributions to the board and to the community. And we talked about quite a few ways to do that. So I hope that's open and still on the table. And Sharon, for your benefit, one of my favorites is the guest doc becomes the Ray Carpenter guest doc at the Port of Kingston. And there's a big sign there because he was so beloved by all the voters from everywhere. And there were people at the celebration of life from many other young folks that weren't even from Kitsap and his life. So he was well loved.
Thank you.
And thank you for coming.
Great. Thank you, Nancy. You. That's great.
Anyone online want to make a comment?
There are a few people online.
I don't see anybody.
There's Beth. There's, who is that?
No hands raised.
No hands raised?
Either of you? Oh, Ron?
Ron? Karsma?
I can't hear the person or hear.
They're not. There's nobody.
They're not saying anything.
They're not saying anything. They're just...
Come on up here, Ron.
Okay, I'm Ron Karsmeyer. First of all, I was a very good friend of Ray Carpenter's, and I think we love him all. He's done a lot for this community. I knew him well. I visited him down on my property and all that, so I miss him terribly.
Yeah.
I mean, I really do. I think we all do.
Yeah, we do.
So sorry about that. So I did want to make one comment about the comp plan, that I've lived here for 30 years, and I ran a business across the street there for a while. And I've been through so many of these things, and at the same time I watched Kingston go from what it was in the 90s and the 80s and the 70s to what it is now. And there's not many of you that have lived here as long as I have. Some of the commissioners have. Nancy, you've lived here only since 2009. I used to call it well. Kingston's now not the town it used to be. And I've watched comp plan after comp plan after comp plan, and I've watched what's happened to Kingston. We have reached the point now with the Title 17s and the design standards now where the comp plan is extremely, it's really important. What we do now for the next couple of years is going to dictate what may happen in Kingston in the next 50 years. It's never been that way because we've always had kind of controls on what happened. So I would like you guys to really take an aggressive role with the stakeholders, with the KCAC, and even the public, because it's time now that we do it right. And I hate to say it, but the public around here, people are not well represented. They're not well represented in KTAC. They're not well represented in the stakeholders. I'm sorry, but they don't live down here. And I think we need to kind of come together and say, if we can come together with something that makes sense to all of us. And I don't disagree that we'd like to have one voice. I'm not sure that's going to happen. But I'm going to urge the court to take a very aggressive role and make sure that you get the public opinion for the people that live around here in the UVC and the UGA, and make sure that what happens to the court commissioners and the county commissioners is done right this time.
Thank you, Ron.
Excellent. Thank you.
Does anyone else online want to talk for public comment period? I don't see anybody.
No hands raising.
Hand. Okay. So we're going to move on to the consent agenda. These matters are routine and will be enacted by one motion of the commission with no separate discussion. If discussion is desired, that item may be removed from the consent agenda by a commissioner. We're going to approve the December 12, 2023 work session meeting minutes. Approve January 24th, 2024 regular meeting minutes. Approve February 27th, 2024 work session minutes. Approve February 28th, 2024 regular meeting minutes. Approve March 19th, 2024 work session minutes. Approve February 2024 warrants in the amount of $71,070.66, and the EFT payments in the amounts of $178,640.26.
I move we approve the consent agenda as detailed.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Move on to number six.
Before
action.
We move on, I would like to ask on the December 12th meeting summary. I don't quite understand what that means. Who said it? Did I say it? What? It doesn't make sense to me.
At our last one, is we removed that summary because you asked.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that is the verbatim.
Yes.
That's the verbatim that was said.
Okay. Well, it isn't in it could be easily edited to be a little more sensible and readable. I don't really care.
We'll move on to the action item number six, which was the KEDA dues. I know that we had been presented, Joe Morrison came and presented to us at our last work session in reference to the KEDA dues and the change, the possible change in the amount of the dues. So we wanted to have a discussion about that, to whether or not we are going to do that. Does anybody have any thoughts?
My thought is that if we want to be members of KEDA, we have to pay the increased dues. Everybody's paying increases. And then that leads to the question of how valuable is KEDA to us? And I think that they're valuable to the whole county, but I believe they could also be more valuable to us if we took a stronger connection role with them and looked for opportunities.
I agree. So. For those in the audience, KEDA is Kitsap Economic Development Alliance, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And they help with growing employers, and they help with connecting employees to employers, and create economic vitality in the community. They have a really strong role in helping also small businesses to get going. And I mean, Mary and I and Greg were just this morning at the KEDA
conference
yeah. this morning. Oh, right. And so if anyone wants to look at this at all, they can look at it. It was, you know.
They have a great website, too.
Yeah, they do. They have a really great website. They had presentations today by gentlemen from Western Washington University, and then they had Naval Base Kitsap. They had Derek Kilmer there. It was really good. It was really good. I really enjoyed it. And since Derek is on his way out, it was really nice to hear his, you know, send off and some of the things that had warmed his heart while he was serving. So, but if anyone wants to look at this, I have it here. I have some personal notes on there, but anyone is welcome to look at it if they want to.
I think also they presented a lot of economic analysis of employment, cost of living, et cetera. And I'm pretty sure that will all end up on the KEDA website mm-hmm. now that today is over. And if you have interest in any of that stuff, it was very meaty and useful. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
Ron put his hand up.
Ask us later, Ron. So I'm in favor of it myself.
Well, I make a motion to approve an increase in dues to KEDA.
I can't recall what the amount was.
$5,000.
It went from 25 to
25 to 5. Yeah. I mean, it's doubling. But I mean, I think we have the wherewithal to stay joined with them, and I think it's an important organization as well. It's kind of rough to take they're doubling dues, but you know, they do a lot of really good things, and our affiliation as well, I think, as Mary had said, is very important. So
yes.
Yeah.
So is that a second?
I would second that. Yes.
Any further discussion? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
So now we're going to move on to our discussion items under number 7. The first one is the Kitsap County Comprehensive Plan. So we had somewhat of a discussion at our last work session / regular special meeting in reference to this. And let's express more thoughts here. Is there anything else that anybody wants to say, or?
Well, I think the comp plan has, there's two things going on in relation to the comprehensive plan. More specific to Kingston is our sub-area plan review that is maybe more specific, but there is a general comprehensive plan afoot as well, and in relation to the environmental impact statement, that is the procedure for approving a comp plan. That's really kind of these first steps that are going on. As I understand, the subarea plan is a component of that work, and that's where the lion's share of our interaction has occurred with the subarea plan.
Right.
So I just thought I'd mention that the important differentiation between those two elements is the broader comp plan throughout the whole county versus, you know, what we've primarily been involved with. And really I think we've been involved for a couple of years now in the subarea plan comments, reviews, etc. So my thought is maybe our discussion is just slightly premature, only because we are continuing to interact with our working partners, with the Kingston stakeholder group, and also through the county commissioner, through the Kingston Citizen Advisory Council. And so my thought is we're continuing to work with the groups. So, you know, at this point, I don't know, but I think it's important for us to, you know, make statements about, you know, what we're about, you know, in this case.
Well, I think that I agree with you, Steve. It's probably premature to try to reach a conclusion here, but the two key issues are height, mm-hmm. building height, and that it is still being discussed, and the role of requiring commercial development on the first floor mm-hmm. across a certain zone.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been a number of things proposed. The one that seemed most attractive to me was, if you're already commercial, stay commercial. If you switch, go commercial. But apparently you can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't do that, I'm not quite sure what you do. So
right.
I think there is more discussion to be had.
Yeah, some clarification,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, yeah.
In that regard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Have you guys had a chance to meet yet with the representatives from KCAC that came and talked?
I'm meeting Friday.
Okay, yeah.
And I met yesterday.
Okay. Yeah, so maybe this is premature because we should probably all have that opportunity before we... So do we have a meeting scheduled for next Tuesday?
The next work session is until April 9th.
Could you speak up? She said the next work session's not until April 9th, so maybe we should go ahead and schedule one for next week, if mm-hmm. that's, which
for
would
Tuesday,
be...
For Tuesday, the...
I don't know, I just made an
is
appointment.
Is it the 3rd?
No, we don't have a meeting.
Is it the 3rd, maybe? I can't remember.
I don't know, I've got to pull the calendar out. It's the 2nd.
Second.
What okay. time? I could do it if we did it at 9:30.
9:30?
Or later.
Does that work for everyone?
That's okay for me.
Works for me too.
I'll schedule it.
Thank you, Chris.
Yeah, we're great.
So we'll come back after you guys have had a chance to...
Yeah.
Well, Mary had hers, but you have yours. Uh-huh. And Greg, you were going to, once we all came together, you were going to provide us with a little bit more... how we defined last time.
Oh, thank you.
We were
Greg.
Going to
kind
of collate it together to be
yep.
Okay.
You know, I think in a nutshell, it really comes down to the biggest differences are the storefront zone
mm-hmm.
and then where and when there'd be height limits, or what those height limits would be at 55. it doesn't really matter where the genesis of it, but Eric, you know, Baker had said 55 feet, and they were looking at, I think part of the goal was to accomplish densification of housing and also trying to incent development and the cost of that. And so if you go up, you go vertical, it changes the financials as we know, just doing a simple, when we went over our pro forma. So I think that, they are really, we're not that far apart really from what we're all saying and what we want to accomplish, kind of a little bit of method and means. Mm-hmm. And then if you look at incorporated areas like Bainbridge Island or Paulsville, they have at least some Main Street area that they have a storefront zone that they require commercial space on. And I think the basic, there's a difference between, traditional, I think, constructs for what, how do you achieve having a downtown and having this kind of this nucleus of commercial space? How do you preserve that in Kingston if we don't codify it? And so the other argument is, well, but if you do, and you know that commercial space is clearly a problem and it is a challenge, you don't get the kind of returns you get that would dampen or maybe prevent people from redeveloping in the property. And instead build to a convertible commercial space. So it would be built, at least some of the basics would have to be meet the code for commercial space, but you could go into it saying it would be a residential space potentially instead of being a commercial. I think those are the, and then also some of the detail on what would the storefront zone, what would that entail? Because like if you do a 50-foot wrap, then you have 100 feet, then you got Ohio, Illinois, and Iowa, it would take up a pretty significant portion of the cross streets, the
right.
East-west
yep.
Streets. So instead of having that wrap, for example, on even when we ask for that. So it gets into the detail on some of it, but there's just the overall question. Mm-hmm. Would it go towards residential, and would it ever convert back over? And is convertible space in and of itself really is that really going to incent people to develop regardless? Because you do have these really, really high costs for development. And I think, even talking to developers, they're kind of just throw their hands up right now in the current state of things because supply chain costs and everything and trying to get your arms, the costs for development are just gone through the roof. But what we're gonna see, and you're starting to see it, whatever the county does come up with for the comp plan and for the Title 17, it's really the county's decision, but whatever they come up with, I think it's going to have a really big impact on Kingston because you're seeing a lot of the properties that are developable properties that are not an assemblage yet. You're starting to see some assemblages occur.
Yeah.
And in order to be able to develop property, and then you're gonna see these properties changing hands. And when they change hands, I think they're gonna change with the intent of developing. So you will start to see, I believe, investment in Kingston in the next 10 years, and it's gonna be impactful. You can just see it on some landowners mm-hmm. listing their properties, and you're seeing them being mm-hmm. sold. So I think it will have an impact. So I wish I could say, I don't have data to say, one way or the other. It's just a recommendation, but I do think it would be great to try to come together as close as we can. But even now, we're not as far apart as I think some people in their minds are thinking. But and honestly, it would have been great if through this process, I would have preferred if the county had a planner, which should be subject matter expert, could really do all that research for us and talk about development, could speak to these things. But they're going to go through all that internal review, including the planning commission.
Right. Yeah.
So, but it would be good. I think it seems like KCAC stakeholders, they've definitely come together in terms of what they're. Position is, and so they would like to see the court if we come to some agreement. And I think the last sentence in their letter, or close to the last sentence, saying we would like to keep it commercial, I just don't think it's enforceable legally, and it's just like an intent thing. Hey, we want to maintain obviously a commercial downtown area, but What is that going to look like, and what do you support? So either you have to support it through people that live here, which there's not enough people live here, but they have now, they changed how they do the calculations to meet the GMA population growth goals. So the Arborwood development is not included. It'll be included in the new numbers.
In the new numbers,
towards
right.
that growth. So mm-hmm. yeah. as far as whatever that entails, I don't really understand exactly what the state, what do they really, how do they really punish you if you don't meet your GMA goals? But they put pressure on you.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to make a comment about the GMA goals versus GMA targets. Basically, they're really targets. They're projections about what is going to happen based on population growth as it's developed. So they didn't say, you have to do this. They said, you have to plan for this. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of different.
Yeah. You know,
so anyway, I just wanted to clarify.
That's good, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, and I think that, you know, when you look at what I think the county was looking at trying to increase densification, but an overall theme though that has been here in Kingston for a long time is they want to see a seaside town. They don't want to see it necessarily overbuilt, you know, any sort of high rises. So, you know, that does fly in the face of going to like a 55. You could get a 55-foot variance. The specific topography of what the port property is, being about 15 foot below grade and over up in the corner there, Washington Boulevard, Maine, you know, wouldn't be, you know, KCAC is said, hey, we could see where the port, because it would be 45 feet from that low point, which is pretty, which is the right at the toll booths there. So, you know, as far as port potential development, that would obviously make it, because we have to put in parking. We got to maintain parking. Other people might try to say, hey, we're going to get parking allocated somewhere else within the Kingston area to serve the parking requirements for our development. But the port, that's not the case with the port. The port, we are a transit hub and we need to maintain our parking capacity. So we'd have to put that parking, which is a big expense. Parking is a huge expense on these things. It's a loss. You can't get your money back on it. So I think that was something that I think we should recognize, that KCAC and the stakeholders both were supportive of the port efforts to be able to try to make something happen here. So that was appreciated, to say the least.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Great.
Those are just kind of thoughts, you know, the bullet points that that we've gone over quite a number of times.
Okay. So if we have a work session next week to see where we are.
Mm-hmm.
Will that be in time to provide feedback to KCAC stakeholders, et cetera?
That's I understand.
Before it's required.
What was the cutoff date?
The 8th,
I think.
And that's the cutoff. I know that's the county commissioner's mm-hmm. hearing, is, mm-hmm. and that's what it's in.
Like typically that, you know, comments are provided up until the time of the hearing in that kind of matter. So I
okay.
think that would be
so that's
still timely.
Time to
yes.
4 days.
Yeah. yeah, right.
Okay.
So I mean, we've discussed it quite at length, so I think this would be the final push to.
Right. Any further discussion?
Not for me.
Okay. So we'll move on to discussion item B, which is letter from the commissioners. And Steve, you were going to read that letter?
I am. Be happy to. See if I've got this screen lined up here. Let's see. So, this letter written March 19th, to whom it may concern. We are aware from public comment received over the last few months that some members of the community are concerned that the executive director may have retaliated against Ray Carpenter, who served as our harbor master for many years until his recent passing. Because the executive director plays an integral role in our organization and one in which both the commission and the public must have trust and confidence, we wanted to take this opportunity to specifically address these comments. Several months ago, the commission authorized the port's legal counsel to retain an independent investigator to look into whether the executive director engaged in any form of retaliatory conduct or harassment with regards to Mr. Carpenter. The independent investigator, who is an attorney, performed a thorough investigation and spoke to many port personnel during the course of her work. She issued a thorough investigation. Oh, she issued a detailed report, which is covered by attorney-client privilege and is thus confidential. But we did want to share that none of the allegations of harassment or retaliation were substantiated by the investigator. Upon review of the report, the executive director did not engage in any such actions. Hang on just a sec here. Here we go. Sorry. Okay. we know that some members of the community may wish to read that report themselves. However, it is covered by the attorney-client privilege and is confidential. The purpose of the commission commissioning such a report was to provide information to the commission so that we could take appropriate action if necessary. The report was never intended to be for distribution to the public. And in fact, whenever an investigation such as this is conducted, employees who speak to the investigator desire confidentiality so that they are free to be as candid as possible with the investigator. Out of respect to our employees, we want to honor their desire for confidentiality and ensure that if we ever have a need to conduct another investigation, those employees will speak openly and freely to an investigator. And this letter is signed by all three commissioners, Laura Granville, Steve Heacock, and Mary McClure. So.
Thank you, Steve.
Yeah, you bet.
So we'll move on to number 8, which is our financial report, Audra.
Normally in these meetings, I don't say a ton about the financials. I kind of keep it short and sweet, but I would be more than happy at another time to sit with any of you to go over more details. I know we're going to be sharing more with the commission as far as line business, things like that.
Yeah.
So I'll just do my normal couple sentences and then if there's any questions.
Okay.
So as of February 2024, the gross profit for the port is $400,000. The total operating expenses prior to depreciation are $436,603, resulting in a net operating loss of about $36,000, with a total net loss year to date of $90,000. That's normal for us, unfortunately, in the first quarter of the year because right. of the seasonality. But we know we have some things that we need to do to bring up our revenue, and we're looking into those. Parking has been doing very well. Mm-hmm. And we have improved on our guest moorage, the daily guest moorage for this season, so that's good. We had a couple of extra expenses that came up that weren't budgeted for, but honestly, this amount here is we're on budget. We expect to lose in the first
part. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Our cash and equivalents are at $2.73 million. We still have an outstanding LTGO bond, which is was taken out to pay for the covered mortgage we have. That balance is $637,000. So all in for cash, we have $2.1 million in the bank.
Great.
Any questions? Let me know.
Cool. Great. Thank you very much. Wow, that's
Thank
awesome.
Thank you, Audra. I like how you're doing the comparisons, too.
Oh, completely. Yeah. It really helps. Yeah. The year to year. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And would you, when you do your next report, say what page it's on?
Oh, yes.
That would be really helpful.
Yes, I can do that.
Yeah, because the whole thing is numbered and
in the package. Yeah, I kind of do a narrative, but I don't go through each one. And I can, I'm used to doing it all kinds of ways. So if you prefer, I could go through in more detail and point it out to you too.
And page 34 is the one that really was.
Yep, yep. 34 is the, that's what I went to.
I don't think it's necessary to go through item by item, but I just want to be able to follow exactly what you're saying. So maybe you could give us ahead of time a here's the key points.
Okay, I can do that.
Yeah,
I can do that.
And the page would probably be good.
And the page, yes. Yeah. I will do that for next time.
Thank you.
Cool, great.
Cool. Okay, any further questions on this? So I'll move on to commissioner reports. Mary?
I guess the two big things I wanted to, I don't need to make any more comments about keto because, yeah, we did that. The NKU discussion is continuing and the group that's working to push that forward is anticipating a presence at the April 8th commissioner hearing. And I am planning to make a comment about its role in economic development and about the fact that it is a regional facility. And if you look across the street at the development that's going on for a regional facility for government vehicles, you see it's centrally located to serve the entire region. And I think that's an important piece of it. What isn't so clear is whether or not a vote for the sports setup facility is in fact a vote for the rezone.
Right.
But you don't get this without that.
Right.
And so that's kind of the approach that the planning group is taking. And
that was a really good point to make because they specifically pointed that out. I think it was two meetings ago at the KCAC, that they are two very different projects, but one of them will not proceed without the other one.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Or exactly. Won't for another 30 years. And by that time, the property already be sold off and developed. It'll be a different story. Yeah. So,
did by any chance you have an update from KRCC?
The executive board meeting got postponed. The focus right now is on the regional project submittals, and of which there are two, one in Bremerton, one in South Kitsap. And their next meeting and the Transpol meeting, the Transportation Policy Board, will be focused on hearing the presentations about the projects within the county funded by the countywide pot. And so I'll give you, matter of fact, I'll bring that list.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great. Yeah.
We should probably readdress the alternates on those meetings.
Yeah.
Because as Steve pointed out, he's listed now as the alternate on KRCC, but he's not able to attend those.
Got those.
So I'm totally willing to step up and be the alternate as I was originally on the KRCC.
Yeah.
So we should, if Greg can provide that for us and who we need to contact in order to take care of those, that would be great.
We'll send an email and I'll confirm it for you.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Awesome.
Greg. So Steve?
Well, I don't have my notebook with me, but I can give you kind of a lowdown. More specific meeting that I've been involved in as the Connection R rep on the Kingston Citizen Kingston Community Advisory Council, correct myself on that, is essentially some of our work that we've done with the within the comprehensive plan and the Kingston subarea plan. So again, that is, you know, an ongoing process. We're going to have further meetings on that. And then I'm meeting some of the members on Friday, I think at 3 o'clock. And then we're going to re-meet. And then today at 4 p.m., we are having a meeting with that group as well. And we've all been invited to that particular meeting at 4 p.m. today.
It's virtual. For,
it's a virtual, yeah, it's a Zoom link meeting. So I think we've been, it's been requested that we attend.
I think Greg sent out that invite.
I think Greg did send that invite out a few days ago. So so there'll be more on that. Trying to think of anything else. Again, I apologize. I did not bring my port notebook with me today with the other meetings that I've attended.
But that's
the highlight, I think, for me.
Thank you.
Excellent.
So I think we've already gone over quite a bit for the KEDA, so I'm not going to rehash that. That was what I really enjoyed doing this last month. That was really good.
That's great.
So we'll go on to staff reports. Should we start with Tori?
Yeah, let's do that.
Back to my notes. Listen, we are actively taking care of hedges and edges, landscaping-wise.
Yeah.
It's kind of a little bit growing season already. We have perfect temperatures, so we're already on the second mowing of the lawn. So hedges and edges for landscaping. We're prepping for dock adjustments. Some things have wiggled loose over the winter. We didn't see any freezing, so that's good. Nothing broke. We have some dock adjustments ahead of us.
Mm-hmm.
Once we, it's nice to go into that kind of a plan because it's labor intensive and there's lots of tools to move around. So to do one a day is, you know, the strategy. But once the tools come out, it's nice to keep them dusted off, just keep moving forward with it. And then we got our new hire. We're still doing a lot of training with him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a good student. So well received. He's coming along.
Yeah.
Very nice.
He's a hard worker too. I've seen him on the hedges there. He's getting on it.
He doesn't mind breaking a sweat.
Nope.
Put the rest of us to shame. My knee hurts watching. Other than that, it's optional. Getting ready for spring. Prepping for summer events too. Permits going in for the event tent,
mm-hmm.
talking to the fire marshal about food trucks. So all of that has started. We already had 4th of July discussions. Christmas repairs already happened. Optional.
Christmas all year.
It is. So it's optional.
Thank you, Tori.
Great, thanks.
You're welcome.
Chris?
Well, I'll share on that. We are getting really close to the implementation of the new Marina software. We're hoping to go live May 1, so we'll be just ahead of the season. And doing a lot of testing now, working out any bugs. Everybody's really excited about what this will do for us. It's going to create a lot of efficiencies and create more processes that, you know, there's workflows that we have to go through, and so it's going to be super helpful. Sage, I'll let you carry that one because that is also in, you know, tandem with the accounting software that we're also implementing. Aside from that, we're just trying to, you know, prep for the season and get everybody up to speed and doing what we do.
Thank you, Chris. Audra?
So as Chris said, yes, we are going through the marina software conversion at the same time as going through an accounting software conversion. And, you know, as anything, there's a little hiccups along the way. But and one of the consulting firms we're working with, all of their trainers are in South Africa. So it seems like every time we have a question, there's a 2-day delay to get things answered.
Wow.
But that's a world we're in, right? I mean, everybody's, a lot of people are online, people from all over the place. So it's been, that's been a little bit of a challenge, but we're getting there. And I think the best thing for customers is going to be the ability to kind of manage your information, be able to have, right now we have a lot, most of our customers for regular perm mortgage and parking are on whether the auto pay coming out of your credit card, you know, going to your credit card. So another option we will have is ACH, which is where the funds are directly taken out of your checking or savings account mm-hmm. on a specific day. Some people prefer that over having it go on a credit card. It's kind of just gives you a little more options. And of course, there's always the cash and check payment options. But what we're really excited about is it'll take away a lot of the manual processes for staff, frontline staff, to be able to get out there and you know, work with the customers and you know, help with the yacht clubs coming in and just really, you know, interact and do those kinds of things. So we're very excited about that. So I thank Stacy and the whole team for pulling that together and just trying to get through the rest of the slow season, they call it. I don't know why it's called slow, because it hasn't been slow. And getting ready for a good, hopefully a really good rest of the year.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming. I'm sorry.
Thank you, Audra.
Thank you.
Greg?
Well, the only thing I want to just touch on was there was sort of a social media flurry of some misinformation. So what we did was there were three seasonal employees that we've had for years, and they've aged out and said, you know, basically opted not to come back. We have one that may come back, which we couldn't use them during the peak season, during the boarding season. So that's what we did was we just looked at the cost of that. So we added on a full-time employee to replace those three. And we just felt, you know, with all the green space that we have and, you know, all the maintenance, we just said, we might as well just hire a full-time person to, because it is really year-round that you can do all that work. Plus then we have time to be able to cross-train them so they can help operation, like at the fuel dock, or, you know, or doing some other operational things. So it's just good, and maybe even help with the front desk if needed, just that we start cross-training people, because there's a lot to know. But the fundamental reason was, okay, we got three people, and we have a whole lot of landscaping and maintenance, repair and maintenance that we need to get done. We've listed the a role, a director of operations and real estate on the website, also with WPPA. So we'll see what kind of, you know, we've got a little bit of responses for that. So we'll see where it goes from here.
Mm-hmm.
But we are gonna try to interview and get somebody on staff here with them. Hopefully, you know, they'll have to give their time off, hopefully within the next month and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Could you say again, a director of operations?
Yes. And real estate.
And real estate or in real estate?
And real estate.
So our next regular meeting is going to be Wednesday, April 24th, 2024 at 6:30. It'll be a hybrid meeting. It'll be here at the Village Green. We're also going to be meeting next Tuesday at 9:30, I believe, here. Chris will confirm that. So do I have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
So moved.
And I'll second that.
Meeting adjourned at 2:54.
Good job.
No second call.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Thank you for coming.
Can I ask, is that letter going to be posted?
Yes, it will, yes. Yeah, you bet.
When and where?
It'll be on the website, on the port's website.
Soon, or do you have to wait until the minutes are approved?
We've already signed the letter, so it'll be soon, yeah.
Today or tomorrow, latest.
Yeah.
So I'd like to meet with the three commissioners and the stakeholders. With no public comment at the end, I find this rather frustrating because you talk about a lot of things. The meeting's over now. You can turn the recorder off.
Oh.
But you talk about a lot of things and you make a lot of decisions to affect all 7,000 of us in this district, and you don't offer us a lot of public comment.
Why is it so
I would add, Lori, you're the chair.